Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. We ask you to quicken our mind and our hearts, that we may be able to hear your word, that we may be able to appropriate it, Lord, that we may be able to, Lord, manifest it in our life. We just praise and thank you, Lord. We know, Lord, that through him, Lord, you give us the information, the life, the direction, everything that we need. And we praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to break the series on overcomers. And I'm going just to talk more about something more related to Christmas today. I generally don't do that, but I feel like doing that because it's so important to understand some things that are really not easy to understand. And we had to realize that, and we had to appreciate, Lord, the fact that some things are difficult to grasp and we'll never grasp completely. And we had to really go to the Word to give us direction. You see, the Word of God is not a logical book. There is a logic far bigger than our logic, but is not organized the way we think. Is not structured the way we think at all. And the consequence of that is that it is not like a manual that we use, you know, in a logical way, do this, do that, do the other thing. You know, there are lots of different thoughts, ideas that come from different people at different times, at different, and talking about different things. And all of them are in harmony with one another. And they come from this chaotic combination of ideas and thoughts from different people at different times. And we had to figure out from there, okay, the way we think, that generally is kind of linear. If not everybody has completely linear thinking, I don't, but, you know, we had to try to put those things together. And that's not easy, okay? There are some things that have been discussed for the very beginning. You know, we all talk about, you know, the early church has so much power and everything else, but you have no idea what happened in the early church and all the problems that they had. How many heresies were developed in the early church that are still going on today? Why that happened? Because people can't figure out things. And there are other factors coming into the picture, so I'm not going to talk about that. Okay, but really, we have to understand, you know, the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God. And give us information that actually, you know, the amazing part is that the whole thing is so coherent. It's a real miracle to have a word that actually has no contradiction in itself, that was written over a period of time, of thousands of years, for different people that don't even, you know, have any contact with one another. And then all this jumble of different information had to be put together. There was no structure to start with. So even something basic like, you know, was resolved at the beginning, they were forced to resolve at the beginning about the Trinity of God. You know, from our point of view, doesn't matter what the theologians try to figure it out and explain it, there is no way, always a question of talking words. But you are never going to get it. There may be a better way of expressing it according to the scripture. And this is what actually happened. It took about 200 years for them to actually track, you know, address those issues. But there are other things. That's not the only one. Probably the most complicated things that you can think. The biggest miracle that happened in the church is the history of humanity is Jesus. How can you understand logically that an infinite being, God, became a finite being, man? And what does it mean from a practical point of view? And it's, having some understanding there is critical. Okay? And that didn't take only 200 years, you know, it took much longer to come to grasp with that. We are talking about much more recent time. Okay? But what I'm saying to you is this. You know, there are things, if we know everybody talking about Jesus, but really to be able to appreciate what he really, who he really is, and what he, you know, what really means for us from a practical point of view, this is really important, is really critical for us. The more, you know, we worship, you know, I believe lots of people worship a God that they don't even know. Because, you know, they think, you know, Jesus was just a little baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. Is, I think it's much more complicated than that. And you can tell this story. See, but the way God speaks, you can talk to the story to a little baby, it already has an effect. But, you know, it's not the same thing that when somebody is grown up and has to understand more better what went on to be able to appreciate and to connect with the reality of what took place there. That was the biggest miracle, I believe, was bigger than the resurrection of Jesus, from my point of view. Because that was the result of that, and there's going to be many other resurrected and get in the same body that he has. But he's the only one that was God made flesh. And, you know, the interpretation that we give to these things like that, because it's beyond our ability to connect, it's not always our philosophy and our theories are not really the expression of the whole thing, because we cannot comprehend infinite or deal with infinite knowledge. But that's what is demonstrated, if you want, in the Bible itself. The fact that is such a perfect work that we don't understand how it can be coming out of that is because is was written from his anointing, his anointing of people, giving them instruction on what to put together there. And the old things that they did end up matching with everything else that was there already. That to me, you know, is not just the prophecies that were given. I mean, that's already something that is quite significant. Okay, this, the probability for the prophecy, even just about Jesus, you know, life, is practically impossible from a probabilistic point of view to happen in anywhere, in any place, in the whole universe. Okay, that's already by itself. But this is much more complicated than that. This is much more than, well, giving prophecies. Here is actually, you know, revealing things about reality, the spiritual reality, the physical reality, you know, in us that are far beyond what we can ever know and understand. And so what I want to do today is really to try to focus on Jesus' incarnation, which means actually the fact that he became a man. Carnation, carne, you know, is meat. So, you know, became a flesh. Okay. So the idea is this. Okay. Christmas is a celebration, if you want, People don't like that, but anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, the idea is that Christmas is celebrating the birth of something, of one that is the only one ever existed and will ever exist with those characteristics. And we have to understand that reality. We have to understand the implication for us. There is no one other like him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the whole Bible is about him, basically. And about the way, you know, the impact, the reason, and everything else. I don't think I'm going to be able to cover all this stuff. But today there is no way, and I don't even know if I have to, you know, to what extent I want to do. I just want to introduce to you certain ideas that we have to appreciate concerning him. Okay. From the historical point of view, you know, a lot of people were talking in the past about the historical Jesus. That's not a big deal. Okay. There is historical records many places, so in the Bible they describe it, but also, you know, people that are not believers, there is a description of that. And this is announced, well, you know, in the beginning, you know, in Bethlehem, when he was born, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, talks about that. And we can see briefly about that. It says, verse 2, verse 8, says, now they were in the same country, shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. That's what happens when you get close to a spiritual thing happening. Generally, people just freak out. Then the angel of the Lord, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, even in this statement, you know, just in one piece, you know, there is quite a bit of information about him already. Okay. First of all, the Davos is the Messiah, the Savior, the one they were expecting from the very beginning, when it was prophesied at the beginning. Okay. So he was the Savior, but wasn't there. It was Christ the Lord. The way he was called right there, it shows that, you know, that he wasn't just a Savior. He was also, you know, he was also God, but bottom line. You know, Christ, the anointed, but it's really the Lord implication is that he was, you know, God himself. Okay. This reveals an important thing about Jesus, the two nature of God, of Jesus. Okay, there was a nature that was, you know, God himself. Fully God, divine, with all the power of God, like the Father. Okay, and the other one is that he was fully man, just like me and you. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, how can that be? I don't think anybody can figure it out. I'm sure nobody can figure it out because it's beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension of something like that. We have to take it literally and try to understand what that means practically from our point of view. Okay, we have to understand because this is really an important thing, has many impact on the way we relate to him. Okay, so, you know, we had two first things, that the fact that he was God, okay, the fact that he is very clearly explained in the Bible, the fact that he always existed together with the Father. Just even starting from John chapter 1, verse 1, it just says it very clearly there. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when it talks about the Word, is logos, which is actually means, you know, the thought, the idea, the concept, you know, they were there. But, you know, he was personifying that. And he was there from the very beginning. Wasn't created like any other created being. He came together with God. Okay. It says, and in the beginning was in the beginning with God. So in making here a distinction, you know, here he's giving us some critical information for us to understand. Well, the fact that he was there in the beginning with God, but means, you know, at the same, so was not created by God, but he was with God, so it wasn't the same thing as the Father. Okay. What does it mean? It's another story. We had to recognize, see, this is well, the basis of the Trinity, okay, coming to recognize the fact that he was together with God and was from the very beginning. All things, and it continues, you see, how actually all creation started with him. He participated in the creation. It wasn't just the Father creating things. He was actually the Word that God spoke, the Father spoke for to create things. Okay, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So you can see he was participated in the creation with the Father. Okay. All this stuff is written just right there in just few verses. But to unpack those verses for us to connect with, okay, is a completely another story, because we are trying to connect now with, you know, Jesus in our terms. And not just a baby that was born there. Can you imagine a baby, you know, that couldn't look even after himself? Needed to be changed their diapers, his diapers, whatever they were. Okay, they was completely dependent on somebody else to feed them and to help them. Okay, and that was a personification of God, if you want to call it that way. But I don't think you can even do that. Let me continue here. Okay, it says when God created things, God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let the all this." So you know. And that shows the fact that he was actually, okay, part of the process of creation of everything that we have. Okay, then go on. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So there it is, another thing that he was. Okay, and with that was the word has also the ability for us to show and to demonstrate and to be able to think, if you want. And that light is talking actually our ability to actually be able to see things, to be able to reason, to be able to, the logos, you know, to be able to really reason about things. You know, we come short of words to express these things. And when we try to go too far, we just so generally get messed up. But look at this. This is in a few verses. The inspiration that John had enabled him to say something that took, you know, theologian a long time to actually start to grasp that reality. And they were reading the Bible and they were doing things and they were just believers. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. In you know, just a few verses afterward, John 1:9 says, "Thou was the true light which give light to every man coming into the world." So you see, this ability for us to be able to actually see, perceive, you know, this light was coming from him. The ability, see, not, without him, we cannot understand this spiritual thing, because he is the one describing, explaining, connecting with us in a way that at least to a degree we can grasp. And he was just a baby that needed to be fed with the mother's milk. Can you connect those two things? You know, there is no way that you can actually make a logical connection with those two things. Okay. And if you try, you're just going to be more confused than anything else. Let me continue here. Okay. It says, he was in the world. And what after God? And the world was made by him, through him. I mean, these two realities. Okay, he made the world, you know, he made himself. I mean, what can you say? I mean, are you seeing the place where our logic cannot cope with dealing with those things? There is no way that we are going to find a solution philosophically, because our philosophy is based on our reasoning, and our reasoning is based on our experience, and our experience is not that, it's giving something that is far beyond what we connect logically with. Okay? So, there was made to him, and the world did not know him. And here he's talking about, you know, the fact that they, when he was even rejected, when arrived. Okay. But as many as received him, to them he gave him the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Okay, that's really, you know, to see the importance, the impact of his coming, that our personal existence, our connection with God, you know, is through him. And through him, we can come into that relationship to be able to become children of God, to establish a relationship for God, being the Father. And that means, you know, as a really a complete meaning that has to do with our ability to be connected with him, to be the children of our Father. Means that we think the same way, that we, are on the same wavelength in some areas, not necessarily everything, because we'll never be. Okay. And we can see that also is reflected in Jesus' personality later on, if we have the time today. Okay. So, let me continue here. So he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And he's talking about the Jews rejecting them, because although they've been preparing and they were the function of Jesus' coming, they didn't get at all. The way he was thinking was completely different from all their ideas. So that when he came to accept him, it just didn't fit with their thinking, their philosophies, their approaches, and he was rejected. That shows how far even people that think they're close to God, because they thought they were the only one that were close to God, actually, were the one that were functional to kill him afterwards. Praise the Lord. Children of God means, the understanding about, although now it's a bit different, but, in those days, a child of a father would be in the same business the father was, and was having the same, the same type of connection, which families were not the structure of the family today, but was much stronger than they are today. Okay. Now, let me continue. Okay. So, became children of God to those who believe in his name. Meaning, you see, the name is really the representative. It means the type of person, the name was given according to the characteristic of the person. So here, all the things that Jesus was, believing in what he has done for us, believing in what came to do for us, believing in what he achieved for us. Okay, let me continue here. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. So here he's talking about being born of God. Okay? And that is really, we're born is connected to the fact that we believe in his name. believe in what he came to do. Okay? Evidently, if somebody saw the baby, you would really not connect that with anything of what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, okay, not born of blood, but the will of the flesh, but of God. So, and the Word, that means Jesus, as I said before, that was identified, became flesh, that means became a person like us, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, and this is really, you know, when she grew up and when she developed, you know, we started his ministry, we started to know more about what he was like, but it was nothing like that for the first 30 years. In appearance, but in reality, he was. Okay? So, why did Jesus Christ came? Okay, well, you know, was the Savior and so on to break the curse of the law. Okay, but yeah, there were many reasons why. You see, God never does one thing. You know, he does always many things that connect together. And they are all contributing to his plan. And one of the first things that, you know, he achieved is the fact that he came to fulfill all the prophecies and promises that God had made for a human race. For example, in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, to the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers." This is Romans 15:8. For 15:9 says, "And that the Gentile may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." You see, I mean, these things were, you know, written, okay, and prophesied in these things much before they even knew what was going to happen. Okay, and he came to fulfill all his prophecies. There are about 300 prophecies that are about his life, the past life, that actually manifested and confirmed. I mean, just by itself, that is beyond any logical probability. Because they're not just, you know, it's like, it's not just 300 numbers, are 300 complexity of things, you know, complete life picture that have been manifested as was prophesied. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is one thing. So he came to actually confirm. So, you know, on the Thursday night meeting, we have been talking about the witness inside ourselves, the witness outside ourselves, you know, and the witness in the heavenly and the earth. You know, this is actually taking place completely. Okay, there is a witness that we can see in the world, a witness that we can see taking place in the world, and those matching those two things live. Question of no doubt, no confusion. This is a certainty and can be not just chance. You know, the idea they often use, you know, is the Bible to be the way it is, you know, the probability is like a monkey throwing, typing on a typewriter and coming out with the Bible. The whole thing is impossible. But that's exactly the type of probability we are talking about. So, the other purpose, see, we're going to see some things, I can't cover everything because, you know, in Jesus there is so much. And he's so out of anything that you can even think because he's infinite, is God himself. Okay. So, you can just fix it in 1, 2, 3, 4 in the little sermon. There's no way. Okay, but you can start at least presenting some things so that our mind start opening up for what we are dealing with, that is so far beyond ourselves. Praise the Lord. So one of the next things that he came to do is to reveal the Father, reveal the other person of the Trinity, if you want to call it that way. In John chapter 1, verse 18, still in the book of John, you know, there is a lot of place in the book of John. It's not the only one, but you know, there is condensed. Okay. Verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. Only the Son, the begotten Son. So Jesus is in his bosom of the Father, in the bosom of the Father, and has declared him. And following in John chapter 14, reconnect with that. You see, just jumps all over the place. And you know, all these things are all connected because that's the way God's logic is. See, we have to understand, God doesn't work with our logic. He is infinite, and he has infinite logic. We maximum can think about five or six, seven things at the same time, and after we just completely lose it. Well, God can think about anything, about anywhere, about anything, just like that, because he's God. I mean, we cannot even connect with that idea. But that is what appears even just reading simply the Bible. Okay. Here in John chapter 14, verse 8 says, and Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, verse 9, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, he has seen the Father. And so how can you say, show us the Father? For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. And I have believed and have believed that I came from God. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition like the heathens, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not pray like, be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. So, talking about that information availability to God, the Father, okay, to God in general, here, okay, about you, your needs, what you know, all the situation, and not just you, about you, and you, and you, and you, and all the other yous. That, you know, a lot of people think that they have to be there, you know, repeating the same thing because God is hard of hearing. And Jesus said, don't be like them because you are going to be like Eden. Understand who God is and how you deal with somebody like that. Are you following me? See, this thought, these ideas, if you want, revelation, should give us the ability to connect with God in a way that is more appropriate for us. Instead of thinking like people that don't have any clue of what God is like. Are you following what I'm trying to say to you? Praise the Lord. We have to deal with him. See, otherwise what we are trying to do is to put us, God, at our level. We have to be a bit of a stretching of our imagination to put ourselves at in a way that is more appropriate for us to do, even in our prayer. Okay, he was showing us what the Father is like. He knows everything about you. It's no use for you to go cover up stuff and not telling him things or try, you know, or be afraid or be whatever it is. Because you are nothing compared to him. Okay. He is so much more. He knows everything. He knows everything of everybody. He's more than just knows everything. He knows the past, the present, the future. He knows everything. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, the reality of this being, the Father, but you know, the fact that Jesus is God too, that means, you know, he had the same characteristics. Did he? Absolutely, the Bible shows very clearly that. Let me continue here. Excuse me. Actually, this is going very much better for me today. Okay, so the other thing, the other element that he came to become a faithful high priest and dealing with sin in humanity. Okay, so he, to deal with us, to help us for our limitation, for our breaking away from separation from God. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says very clearly, seeing that you have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So here he's talking to us that, you know, he was tempted in all the ways in which we are tempted. And he still overcame. So, you know, and what he enabled us to do is to overcome if we, or and when we have fallen to him, he can help us being in intercession and being covering us up from what he did. So, here it is. Okay. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the idea is, you know, so we can, because we have this high priest that take our place and operate that way so that we can be set free from our mistakes and our errors and our sin, okay, so that we can come boldly to him, to the Father, that he sent it just for that purpose. And, you know, in other part of the Bible, again, you see, just all these things are spread all over the place. It's not that just, you know, you can follow a logic and find out together the way it is. You have to make the connection yourself. You know, and take all the pages in the book and make all the connection there. Forget it. You take your lifetime and you don't even get close to that. You know, the human beings, you know, even up today, they're still struggling to put together the parts. And they're still making very serious errors. Now, let me continue. First John chapter 3, verse 5, connecting what I was saying before. And you know that he has manifested to take away our sins, in him there is no sin. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So this is very clear. He took, you know, one of the reasons why he came was to deal with sin in us and to destroy it. Destroying doesn't mean, you know, it's not there. We just enable us to overcome it. Okay. Now, doesn't stop there. This is just the beginning. Still, you know, reasons why he came about. Okay. And that doesn't cover everything about this coming. But here, let's look at it here. You know, one of the reasons is to be an example for us. Okay. So that we have somebody to imitate, somebody to be like. Okay. It says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You see, learning from him. That's how he was directing us, what he directed us to do. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So Jesus is going to produce not you to run around, to be there, to be, all harassed, or to, trying to get, to do the impossible. No, he is going to guide you into a place of rest in which you are going to be addressing the issues that you are going through. Okay? If there is no rest, it's not from him. So, verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, burden of religion that is not light, is heavy, and you are going to be pushed around. So, we can learn from him. And really, another scripture that I always use, in Hebrew 12:2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father, the throne of God. So you can see here all the different things that Jesus has come from. Okay. That's just the beginning of understanding him. All these things, all this connection with us, and all were related to us, as you can see. Okay, all these things that he came to do, he came for us to receive, okay, they have a purpose. And the purpose is actually to help us in our situation and to enable us to connect with God and resolve our problems. Okay. One can get much, in any of those things, much deeper to address actually how that works. Okay, and that is really the key things, okay, that we need to understand. Because it doesn't do any good if we just simply, know he came to do something, if we cannot apply the word to us and you don't know what to do with the word to reflect, produce the results that he came to produce. And really, the bottom line is always the fact of believing in his name. And believing in his name, which is faith, okay, basically, okay, that's what faith is all about. He came to connect us with God. And that we believe him and respond to his direction, to his commandment, to his instruction, then we are going to experience what he said, the rest, the victory, and those things that he promised to us. Now, that's only not the whole thing, okay? The other thing that we need to understand to really be able to apply some of these things is, how that took place in him, the nature of his being, okay? The nature of the incarnation, okay? And that by itself is really probably one of the major problems, even today, in much of the church. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing because there's not much time for that. But, that's really where the big issue is, okay? So, has to do with the way Jesus operated and functioned when he was down here. See, I've been teaching on that actually already for quite a few weeks concerning the fact that the way they dealt with the Father as he was walking as a man. The fact that says, for example, in John chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 30, he said, in myself I can do nothing. And he wasn't talking about myself, Jesus Christ. He was talking about himself as a man, so that he was relating to us. Okay, he says, you know, I myself, I can do nothing, but I can do only what I see the Father doing. So, you know, he was connecting with the Father and getting direction. In myself, I can do nothing, but I am going, not my own will, but his will. I do in my life, or I follow in my life. So the fact of making that connection, this is really the key things that we have to understand to connect ourselves with Jesus. Okay, the importance of what that implies in terms of submitting ourselves to God's will. Okay, that's what makes all the difference. And that's what actually he also did. I read before, you know, 2 Corinthians, Hebrews 12, 2, you know, the fact that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith, okay, so who can submit himself unto God that way, and now is lifted up. Well, you know, this is expressed more in detail in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, you know, may have this mind be in you, in yourself, which also to in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as things to be grasped. This is the English version, English standard version, but the meaning is right the way it is here. Okay, so, okay, here is the fact of just complying, but empty, verse 7, but emptied himself. Okay, no, verse 6. So the attitude, the position, this mind is really, the mind is phroneo, which actually means attitude, the position that he had, okay, his judgments, okay. You know, who, being the form of God, did not count equality with God as things to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. So emptying himself, we have to see what that means. Okay, and often this is where a problem comes up about these verses. Okay, often, unfortunately, you know, has been misunderstood, misinterpreted, and you know, they missed the boat because you know, the only error about that is the fact that you know, he emptied himself completely of the divine attributes and operated just as a man. Well, they haven't read the Bible. Because there are event after event after event in the gospel in which is proved that that was not the case. I give you an example. The Transfiguration. Transfiguration is something that a man does, that it was manifest in the divine side of his personality. Divine nature of him. But there are many others. And I'm not going to go into that because there is no way I can cover that. But the idea that he was fully man and fully God. And when in dealing with us, he helped us to show us and help us to operate as well as we can to manifest his, some of his power through us in a delegated form. Praise the Lord. So it says there in verse 8, and being in the form of human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So you see, the key thing about the kenosis, about the emptying himself, was the fact that he submitted himself to the Father to obey his will and not the will of Jesus. Okay, because like any other man, you know, you don't want to just die, you don't want to do that kind of stuff, but you know, you submit to the will of the Father with the purpose of the Father, and that's what we had to learn to do ourselves. But we had to have the same attitude that he had, not to be God. And that is really the major problem that we always fall into from the very beginning. What was the temptation? If you eat the fruit, you will be like God. Now, that can take different forms and different things, but doesn't matter. Okay, the idea is, you know, if you apply, you know, my right theology, I'm going to know what to do, and I know everything. You never know everything. Because you are a finite being. And as a result of that, you cannot know everything. You cannot be even close to be like God. And the very moment you are trying to be that way, you are completely getting off a tangent. It's interesting that some of this stuff is coming up just recently in places where people go around, you know, think that they can do declarations. There is not one place in the Bible where anybody made declaration prayer. But people think that they can make those things because they are inflated ego. So the bottom line is this, okay, that Jesus, you know, actually was God. He was remaining to God. He didn't do all the things that to connect with us. He had to connect to our level. And so, you know, he limited himself in what the way he operated. But in some cases, he did to actually demonstrate that. You know, with the transfiguration is the typical example in which he demonstrated his divine nature. Okay. But the result of that, if you remember, okay, now may read that and close with this because it makes the point that I want to make. Okay. Okay, the whole thing. Now, after the 6 days, Jesus came to took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up in a high mountain to by themselves. So there was not everybody there. There was just a bunch of people, but just the chosen people to be able to communicate the truth. So that somebody could be a witness. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like a sun, and the clothes became as white as the light. Okay, this was the demonstration of the divine nature that he had. Okay, now, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared with him, talking with him. Then Peter, big mouth, answered and said to him, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, all 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Okay. And when the disciples heard it, they fell to the ground, face, and were greatly afraid. So you see, that's the result when you can just even, you know, just come a little bit closer to the reality of the divinity of Jesus. Okay. They were just greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And when they lifted up, they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Praise the Lord. It didn't end there. Okay, says no. Now, praise the Lord. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them to say, you know, tell the vision or to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So you see, he wasn't around trying to be boasted. You know, he wasn't trying to get glory or anything. He was communicating the information to people, so that they could actually connect with the reality of his life, what he was doing, his power. There was not just, you know, a man anointed by God, but was much more. He was the Son, was the second person of the Trinity, with the fullness of the divinity as well as the fullness of manhood inside him. And so when we look at him, we had to see, okay, and try to perceive, okay, the way he functions, the way we can relate to him, the way we can learn from him. He said, you know, come to me and learn, and I will, you know, you will be at rest. Praise the Lord. So, you know, just that day, little baby in the manger, you know, in the stable, wasn't just a little baby with the things. That was much more. Okay, it was the form of a man that he had taken in submission to God to make possible what God wanted to do from the very beginning. But wasn't to make us God, was to make us submitted to him. Doing his will rather than our will. Following his direction rather than our plan. And when we learn to do that, then, you know, we are connected with Jesus. We are connected with the Father. We are connected with the Holy Spirit, because all the three work together and are one, and they are going to be ministering and moving in us and enabling us to do things that otherwise we cannot do. But unless we are connected with him, by aligning ourselves in our attitude, in our thoughts, you know, and our submission to them, we are just going to fool ourselves and get nowhere. And with that, I think for today I'm closing. I hope you got something. Okay, we need to understand certain things. And this is an area that even today is not well understood. That you can see the wrong way of praying, wrong way of doing things, wrong way of connecting God, wrong way of trying to do, get things. Okay, and, you know, it doesn't get anywhere spiritually. It doesn't impress God. It doesn't get us anywhere unless it's his way and not our way. All right. So let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for sending Jesus. Help us to understand him. Understand how to connect with him. Understand how to respond to him. Understand how to obey him. Help us, Lord, to please you. Because that's where we are changed, transformed. We become more and more like your Son, Jesus. And that transformation helps us to become accepted by you and transformed into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. In amen.